Appreciate the good prayer this morning and ask that you would continue to pray for me. We'll be back in James chapter 3 this morning. Want to continue to look at our study in the book of James. And while you're turning there, I missed everybody last weekend, but thankful for the services up at Mars Hill in Hoboken, Georgia. And pray for that band. Their pastor has a good vision for the church, and he has a desire for the church to go forward, and certainly want to try to encourage that when we can, but did miss everybody here. I told Brother David last week that after the last sermon from the book of James, that probably, you know, how Satan works, and he does work. He does hear what we try to do here in the Lord's house, that, you know, after speaking on the tongue a couple of Sundays ago, I probably had a week that I've not had in years where I had multiple opportunities to try to put that in practice, you know, to hold my tongue. And, you know, it's funny, Satan knows where to poke and prod, and that was my experience anyway. So it's a challenge, but by God's grace, we are able to prevail. This morning, I want to speak in the latter part of James chapter 3, and I want us to look at what the Word of God tells us as far as wisdom. I guess if you want to title the sermon this morning, you can title it, Who Has Wisdom? We'll read James chapter 3. We'll start in verse 13, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, and with the Lord being our helper this morning, we will gain some more understanding from God's Word. James asks the question in verse 13, Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 16, it says, For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And finally, verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, in those few verses, we have some very profound words of wisdom for us as God's people. Now, this morning, we don't have time to look at them all, but I hope that we can look at what James says here and apply it to our lives, apply it to our individual lives, apply it to our family lives, and hopefully as a church as well. Some time ago, I had an issue come up at work where we had a situation that happened on the bus where there were some conflicting stories about what happened. And as I was trying to investigate and figure out, I found out something that I did not know about our transportation system, and that is our buses have sophisticated GPS systems on them now. So as I was trying to unwind what had happened, I found that out and found out how to access that system. And went over to the bus garage, and all of our buses have GPS systems that keep up with all sorts of telemetry about those buses. You can go back and pull data and see where the bus has gone, and it lays it out there on a map. We have cameras that are synced on the bus, and you can look at the cameras, and it tells you where they are relative on the highway, the speed, got microphones and everything, and it ended up, it made my investigation real easy once I had access to that. And it was really fascinating to see how that worked. You could get a lot of information. You could watch that little animated bus go on the map and watch the camera. And as I was going through that, I thought to myself, well, is this how God looks at us from time to time? It was incredible to think about. But really all I had there was information. And certainly, you know, God is omniscient. You know, he knows everything. And what I was able to see there was just a scratch of the surface as far as what God sees and God knows. I had information. And, you know, that's all I had. I had information. I had data there. And with what I had, you know, I didn't really have anything that I could change because of that information. Now God has omniscience and God is sovereign as well. He knows all things and he does whatsoever he pleases. But it was information. And I want you to understand, as we look here in the book of James, you know, having information is different than having wisdom. What I had there was a bunch of information, and I was able to act on that information, but that wasn't wisdom. You know, wisdom, taking that illustration, wisdom would be if I were driving the bus and something happened where I had to make a split-second decision to make sure everybody's safe, or if I exercised management of the students on that bus. That's using wisdom. Well, what James is going to teach us here from God's Word is that you know, we have a wonderful access as God's people to His wisdom. We have access to His wisdom. As we've noted before in James, there's a difference in knowledge and wisdom. I had a bunch of knowledge there as I looked at that data and looked at the cameras and listened to the microphones and so forth. But that was just knowledge. But we see over and over and over again in the book of James, as God's people, we're to seek wisdom. And James is telling us here in James chapter 3 that we have access to wisdom from above. J.I. Packer said this about wisdom. He said that wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and the highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. And I want you to understand, as God's people, when we, with the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and when we're studying God's Word and applying God's Word, we have access to the best wisdom that's out there. Godly wisdom, wisdom from above. I think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was the wisest of all men. You think about the decisions that Christ made in times that look to us to be times of great crises. I think about the Garden of Gethsemane and what was going on there and the words of Christ during that time. Remember, he prayed in that garden and he said, you know, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's wisdom in God. Jesus is our example. Peter spoke about our Lord in 1 Peter chapter 2 when illustrating persecutions. He says that we're to follow the footsteps of our Savior. It says when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He said, he committeth himself to him that judgeth righteously. Christ exercised the example for exercised wisdom to provide a great example for us as God's people. Now, James is going to teach us that wisdom is available to us as God's people. Wisdom from above. And I want to tell you that's critical to us in how we function as a church. That's critical to our families, how our families will function and whether or not our families will be harmonious and our families will be honoring to God. Well, James is going to teach us that as God's people, that we're to seek wisdom from above. Remember in James, we've seen that, you know, chapter one, we're to look to the Lord of wisdom during times of adversities, times of trials, and times of temptations. We noted in James, in the early part of James chapter 3, that godly wisdom controls the tongue in a way that's honoring and pleasing to God. So people see our faith by what we say. People see our faith by how we respond in trials. Now James is going to say, let's see your faith by your behavior, by the wisdom that you exercise. So in verse 13, James says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Well, he answers that. He says, let him show out of a good conversation his words with meekness of wisdom. So James asks the question, who's one that's wise? Who's one that's really knowledgeable among you? What James is doing there, he's drawing a line between wisdom from above and worldly wisdom. Now you understand that there's two types of wisdom that can be exercised in our world. There's earthly or worldly wisdom, human wisdom, and then there's what? There's heavenly wisdom. There's wisdom from above. And let me tell you that human wisdom stands in contrast to heavenly wisdom. understand that those two streams of wisdom come from two different sources. And I want to tell you that as God's people, we need to strive every day for godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom, wisdom from above. And what James is going to show us in this chapter is that what direction we take is going to have an inevitable result. We see in verses 13 through 15, we see the results of acting in 13 through 15 in verse 16. And then you see in verse 17, the results of verse 17 is what we have in verse 18. We need to strive for godly wisdom. And we'll see that there is a blessing and there is a certain look to that when we as God's people act in a godly sort of way. And let me say this about a worldly wisdom or human wisdom. There's characteristics about that we see, isn't there? And I want you to understand, first of all, understand that human wisdom or worldly wisdom, it's always going to be duplicitous in nature, isn't it? Well, in other words, worldly wisdom will say one thing and do another thing, won't it? That's the way of the world, isn't it? You know, we see it played out in the high offices of government. We see it played out on television and in our community. On occasion, we see, you know, people say one thing and their actions are another way. That's the way it is with human wisdom. That's why there is a discord for God's people when we try to solve our problems with human or worldly wisdom. We're going to see from God's word, it brings confusion. It brings disorder. That's why as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't operate on human wisdom because it brings discord. It brings contention. It's inevitable. It brings conflict. But what James is teaching us here, that there is a godly wisdom that we're to strive towards. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Says, let him show out of a good conversation his words with meekness and wisdom. James is saying here that godly wisdom acts meekly. It acts with humility. Let me say this. Godly wisdom doesn't try to cram the truth down folks' throats. Doesn't take the word of God and try to bash people over the heads with it. And we've got to be careful about that. I believe we have the truth. I believe that emphatically. If I didn't believe that, I'd be somewhere else looking for the truth. And I know in that, if we're not careful, we can start wielding the truth in such a way that we're not displaying meekness and humility. But he says that godly wisdom acts meekly. We need to understand that. And now verse 14, he says, If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. He says in verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. What's James talking about when he speaks of bittering envying? He's talking about individuals that have the disposition that you can't tell me what to do. Remember, as we last time we spoke from James chapter 3, you notice that first of all, he lined his sights towards those that would be masters. Those that would be teachers, those that would be in areas of influence. Sam, have you ever had a boss like that? Or have you ever had someone in your family like that that had the attitude, they were just bitter and you couldn't tell them anything? My dad used to say, those, you know, if you've got somebody that you can't teach anything, you need to leave them alone because that's a problem. James says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, he says that that's not from above. Bitter envying. You know, don't tell me what to do. You know, bitter envying is the personality characteristic of wanting your ego fed, wanting everyone to look at you, wanting everyone to cater to your every need. That's the way of the world, isn't it? That's it. You know, the world says it's all about me. I want my just desserts. I want what's coming to me. I want you to look at me. I want the attention and all eyes on me. It's selfish ambition, isn't it? That's worldly wisdom. That's human wisdom. Human wisdom says, I want to control. I want to dominate. But what does James say here? But if you have bittering, envying, and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. James says that, you know, for a child of God, if that's the strain we're following, if that's the path that we're following, we're lying against the truth. We're going against what's true and what's right. Verse 15, he says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is, notice, earthly, sensual, and devilish. He says here, as he goes on in verse 16, but where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 16 is the inevitable result of following human wisdom, following earthly wisdom. What does he say here? He says, for where envying and strife is, and human wisdom is inevitably going to go to envying and strife, he says there is confusion and every evil work. Human wisdom inevitably results in chaos. If you wonder why our society seems so chaotic today, you think with all the advances that we have in civilization and in neuroscience and in psychology and in this and in that, the chaos that we still see, it's because of human wisdom. That's the inevitable result. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion. In other words, there is chaos. The word confusion here means chaos. If you want to know why the world is chaotic today, because there are many in this world following human wisdom and human philosophy. There's a spirit of disruption in our country today because there are many that for one reason or another, have chosen to go the way of human wisdom. And I want to tell you, that never works out in societies, in families. You know, if we're going to try to solve our domestic, our marital problems with human wisdom, that's not going to work. It's going to end up being chaos and disruption. And let me say this, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's tempting as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to employ human measures to help build up and bolster the church, the inevitable end is always confusion and chaos. You know, and this word, he goes on, he says where there is confusion and every evil work. Now, this word evil doesn't necessarily mean just the worst thing that you can think of. You know, it's not, you know, this isn't talking about when someone goes out and murders someone else. This word evil here in verse 60, it carries the connotation of something that's spoiled. What we will do as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is if we employ human wisdom to try to run the church and direct the church, it will bring a spoiling to the institution of the church.
Amen.
Why do things spoil? Well, a lot of times it's because other things are mixed into it. Have you ever noticed when you go to the grocery store and you go to the milk section, they have the regular milk, the gallon of regular milk, and then they have organic milk. Have you ever noticed, and you'll do this next time you go to the grocery store, look at the expiration dates. Your regular standard issued milk, the expiration date, usually it lasts about a week and it's done. You look at the organic milk, and sometimes it'll go out several weeks before it expires. Have you ever thought as to why that is? Why does the regular milk spoil quicker than the organic milk? Well, one of the reasons is that your regular standard issue milk has so many other things in it. You know, I don't want to gross anybody out. Now, you know, you can do what you want to with your milk, but, you know, they inject hormones and additives into that milk, and those cows in that dairy, they pile them in there, and they do everything to pump them up and keep them alive. But the additives cause that milk to spoil quicker. The organic milk doesn't have the additives. They do some other things to it to make it last longer, but spoilage comes when there's other things added into a pure product. Now I want to tell you, in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we employ human wisdom, there may be a short-term growth. But I want to tell you, when the things of the world are added in, the inevitable result is spoiling. It's true in our church. It's true in our families as well. When we don't build our families upon the biblical principles of God's Word, it's going to spoil. That's the inevitable result of following the line of human wisdom. Now, going on in verse 17, we see wisdom from above, and that's what we're seeking here this morning. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, James says, is first pure, peaceable, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. He says here that wisdom from above, or heavenly wisdom, has some identifiable characteristics as well. I believe there's seven here, if I didn't miscount. We're not going to get to it all this morning, but first of all, notice what he says about wisdom from above. It says it's first pure. The wisdom of the world is spoils because things have been added to it. The wisdom of the world is pure. I don't care what they say on television. I don't care what is, you know, the hallmark of popular culture today, but there is something to be said for purity in our lives. As individuals, young men and young women, there is a blessing in purity. When you make a commitment to keep yourself pure, you are honoring God and you are following a path that's pleasing to God, and God will bless you in that in spite of what everyone else says around you. But it says pure. What does pure mean? Pure literally means strong. Wisdom from above is pure or strong. I remember my grandmother, she used to do a lot of baking, a lot of baking of cakes and pies, and she would use vanilla extract. Vanilla extract, pure vanilla extract is strong, isn't it? After I married my wife, she grew up a lot of her time in Arizona, and they would get sure enough vanilla extract from Mexico. They would get the sure enough pure stuff. You ever just tasted any of that stuff? It's strong, isn't it? You know, it's pretty good after you dump about 5 pounds of sugar and everything else in there. But vanilla extract is pure. It's extracted vanilla, and it's pure and it's strong. You'll be finding something to drink if you stick a little bit on your tongue. Well, I want to tell you, as God's people, wisdom from above, godly wisdom, is strong. It's strong enough to help you through any trial, any difficulty in life. That's wonderful to think about. God's wisdom, unmixed with worldly wisdom, is what we need to solve the problems of our lives. God will bless us when we seek His wisdom. I think about the 139th Psalm, one of the most beautiful psalms. I picture the psalmist David out in the pasture there with his sheep. You know, and this is my mind, this is my picture. him out there and him penning that psalm, extolling the virtues of the Lord who knows all about him. And at the end of that psalm, David says, about verse 23, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." When I read that, what I see is an individual seeking purity. That's the prayer that we need to pray every day. That's the prayer I need to pray, seeking purity. It's painful. You know, you take that pure vanilla extract. I don't recommend kids you going home and doing that. But, you know, it's strong and it's powerful. But I want to tell you, the God that we serve, we say, "God, search me. God, bless me. If there's any wickedness in me, Lord, expose it." Man, that makes us a wonderful testimony to Him in this world, doesn't it? It's pure. He says wisdom above is also peaceable. You know, we need to be seeking peace as well. Now, that's not, peace isn't compromise. Understand that. But peace is the manner in which we go about doing things. You know, as I try to preach the gospel, you know, one of my biggest concerns is about what I'm saying, whether or not it's accurate and in accordance with God's word. But I want to tell you, right behind that is how I present God's word. And I hope that the Lord will bless me, as long as I'm in my right mind, to present God's word in such a way that the word is able to prick the heart of the child of God, but not drive them away because of the methods that I use to proclaim God's word. And we need to approach every conflict with that here in the world. Now, we're all to some degree a teacher. We all have influence on somebody. May our influence be peaceable. And then finally, I'll stop here in just a minute. We also see here that as God's people, when we seek wisdom from above, it's also gentle. What does that mean to be gentle? Brother Michael, it's the Word of God teaching me to be a doormat, you know, to open myself up to be being used or abused. No, the word gentleness, it means someone, literally means someone that's equitable, someone that's fair. You know, as Paul is giving the qualifications of a minister to Timothy, it's one that's not a brawler, is what it means. But did you also know that gentle also is synonymous with comeliness or beauty? You know, in the olden days, some of you may remember that. Brother Jimmy Connor may remember in the olden days when somebody said, now that's a gentle woman there, or even a gentle man. It spoke about their disposition, didn't it? There was something about them that was welcoming and open and inviting to other people. As God's people, that's the way that we're to be conducting ourselves. And I tell you, when you're seeking godly wisdom and walking in godly wisdom, as a child of God, that's what you can portray. Yeah, I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when it talks about charity or love. It suffereth long. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself up. It's not puffed up. It says it does not behave itself unseemly. Here's the wonderful blessing about God, the wisdom of God. When we employ it, there others of God's people will be attracted to that. Will respond to that, if you will. I thought about this as Brother David was preaching on the radio this morning from the book of Leviticus. Brother David brought up the priesthood. You think about that high priest. That high priest, he stood out from everybody else, didn't he? You know, you read the book of Exodus, you see the garments that high priest wore. He wore this ephod on his head that caused him to stand out. He wore this breastplate. He had clothing that caused him to stand out. He looked different than everybody else. Now, that high priest, he wouldn't come out all the time amongst the general population. But Jewish historians speak about when the high priest would go out, there would almost be a gasp amongst everybody else because he looked so much different than everybody else. You know, you think about the average Jew just wearing his average apparel, and this man comes out with this ephod and this breastplate and these linen garments. He stood out. He stood out in the way that he looked. He stood out in the way that he sounded as well, because in his garments, you'll remember, on his garments he had bells. There were bells and pomegranates around his garment. And not only did he stand out in the way that he looked, but when he moved, he sounded differently. He also smelled differently. There was, you remember, as you look and God's giving the instruction on the tabernacle and the priesthood and how the priesthood was to be dressed, they were anointed with a certain perfume. They smelled differently. And as you read in the Word of God, I believe it's around Exodus chapter 30, that there was a penalty if anybody else tried to make a concoction like that. I think it was a death penalty, if I remember correctly. But the smell, it was made up of a lot of cinnamon. He was different. He stood out. He smelled different. He sounded different. He looked different. He was comely in all these different ways and stood out. Well, Brother David spoke this morning about us as God's people. What are we as citizens of the New Testament church? What are we? He's made us what? Kings and priests. And I want to tell you, our gentleness as a child of God, God can bless us to stand out in such a way where others of God's people will see our disposition, see our behavior. And I'm not talking about natural clothes. I'm not talking about natural smells. Hopefully we all smell good. That's a good thing. But I'm talking about in us as God's people, when we seek godly wisdom, when we live out the principles of God's Word and abandon the worldly wisdom, God will bless us to be a testimony. As a church, I appreciate what Brother John said. You know, but we're still sinners here, Brother John. I'm sorry. But as a church, if we're going to be a church that honors God
a church that's effectual in this world, we're going to look different than the rest of the world. We're going to sound different than the rest of the world. And we're going to be gentle. We're going to be comely. And in that, we're going to attract others of God's people that are seeking this truth. Lord, help us as God's people to seek that wisdom from above. May the Lord add his blessing.
Amen. Turn to hymn number 56.